Advertising Week is proud to present Great Minds, People and Culture, a podcast dedicated to exploring the art of intentional leadership during times of change. The goal of Great Minds, People and Culture is to provide our audience with practical strategies, reliable data, and tangible advice as we look to empower leaders seeking to make a positive impact. Each 30-minute episode of People and Culture is a deep dive into the intricacies of effective leadership, featuring insightful conversations with experts and thought leaders. Great Minds, People and Culture premieres September 2023 and will be available through your podcast store of choice and at advertisingweek.com. Relationships are among the most significant connections we can have, especially with our closest friends and family. They provide a sense of belonging and joy. An environment built on real relationships holds the power to drive real influence for brands. In this session, taken from Advertising Week APAC 2023, our panelists discuss the power of relationships to drive business growth by building influence, loyalty, and sales.
Thanks for joining us here this morning. My name's Tony Koizgen, and I'm the new Managing Director for Snapchat here in Australia and New Zealand. And I mean new as in this is week 13 for me. So what I thought I'd do today is share with you a couple of the early learnings that I've had in terms of my migration to coming on board to Snap and why. Also share with you, probably importantly, given it's Advertising Week, the feedback I've had from all of your peers. So speaking to senior marketers right across Australia and New Zealand in terms of their thoughts, feelings and challenges that they're having right now. And then lastly, we're going to be joined by two amazing panelists on board from Mecca and Uber, two iconic brands, to talk about how they're dealing with the new normal. So Snapchat. For me, when Snap started speaking to me about a new job, I've got to admit my only experience was about Snap was through the lens of my two kids. They're on Snap prolifically. Like most Australians, they're on it 40 times a day and they're communicating with their friends and some of their family. But that was all I knew about it. What I didn't know was I didn't know about the how many, I didn't know about the who, and I did not know about the how. So let me explain. As I investigated, I couldn't believe that one in three Australians are on Snapchat. One in three. But the bit that I missed mostly was the who. I thought the use of Snapchat would replicate what was in my own living room, that pretty much everyone on it was going to be a teenager like these two. But in fact, I was staggered to learn that 51% of Snapchatters are over 25. And so when I started to gear up my own advertising mind, I could realise that's a pretty sweet spot for Gen Z and millennials. I was not aware of that. And then lastly was the how. I actually thought that social media was pretty similar. I wasn't a power Snap user, I'll admit, but I thought it was all pretty similar. But it's so different. There's a big difference between Snapchat and traditional social. When you open Snap, and when my kids open Snap, it opens to a camera on themselves. It readies them to start to communicate and bring their genuine self to their friends and family in a really creative, authentic, and private way. What they're not seeing was what got me. They're not confronted with likes or comments. They're not worried about, am I popular, am I pretty enough? And so that made me feel good. So I bought a black t-shirt and I joined Snapchat. So the first thing I did was get on board and go out and speak to you all, right? I knew I didn't know a lot already, so I should go and speak to the people that matter, decision makers who are actually out there doing the real advertising. And I heard four things come through in similar themes. And the four big themes, number one, was the most progressive marketers I spoke to were deeply, deeply focused and concerned with gaining the attention of under 40s. And it was everywhere. These marketers knew that under 40s are going to be their future customer. and they needed to engage with them. Secondly, the theme from that was they understood they needed to make change. They needed to change their media mix to be relevant and gain the attention of these under 40s. And lastly, and pleasingly, they're excited that Snapchat has that Gen Z and that millennial population with which they can start to engage. So the second theme that came through was, which I wasn't that aware of, I am now, is that Snap is big and mainstream when it comes to advertisers. The biggest, most loved, most trusted brands on the planet are already long on Snap. Apple, Amazon, Uber, who we'll hear from today. Adidas alive today with the Women's World Cup. Great Australian iconic brands like CommBank, again, live with the Women's World Cup today, and even Mecca, that mecca of cosmetics that's coming up that we all love, that homegrown brand we're going to hear from as well today. So it's mainstream, it's under 40s. The other theme that's come through is something that you'll all be very familiar with, which is the challenge that advertisers are facing with this whole new normal of measurement. The last 18 months have been difficult for everybody. It's been difficult, particularly in the performance space. You know, it's advertisers, it's ad agencies, and it's performance advertisers particularly struggling with how do we measure in this new normal. It's been no different for Snap. 18 months ago, we had a really thriving, solid performance advertising business. Changes have made it hard. Performance wasn't what it used to be. And so we've had to re-engineer our performance product from the ground up to bring it back to its former glory. And the conversations in market with those black belt, ruthless performance marketers that are less emotional about the where and much more emotional about the outcomes and the performance are now starting to tell us that we're back to our former glory. And in fact, in many cases, Snap is performing better than it was from a performance standpoint. And the last thing that's come through is around this whole new normal means that we cannot continue to do what we used to do in the future. Past performance does not predict future performance. And it's a difficult environment to look into. But we're going to look into it right now. We're going to be joined by two fantastic guests on stage. Would you please welcome from Mecca, Hannah, Phyllis? And we've got David Griffith from Uber. Please. David joins us. Unfortunately, Andy was going to be here, but he's been struck down by the flu like so many Sydney-siders today. But thank you so much for joining
us. All right. Cheap David. Second date. That's fine, Tony.
And we did coordinate our dress today to make it look. All right. So, mate, let's talk about Uber to start with. I think it's been pretty widely witnessed from the whole advertising community that you guys are being awarded all over the place for your great work. In Australia, New Zealand, APAC, globally. What is it you guys are doing right, you think, and what are you guys are doing differently?
I think, thanks for that. I'll take that. Andy's not here to take that compliment, so I'll take that. I think, first and foremost, we look at three things: people, operation, and the work. And I think from a people perspective, we've been really fortunate here in Australia the last 5 or 6 years to have some really homegrown Australian talent. Obviously, I'm English. But Andy, obviously, is now our APAC CMO. Lucinda Barlow has now moved into a more international role. And then Georgie Jeffries, who was really instrumental in the growth of Uber Eats, has moved to the head of the US market. The AFR coined them as the Koala Mafia, which is quite a good term. But I think they've been really instrumental in the foundations for us as a marketing team. And I think what that's meant over the last 3 to 5 years is we've got one of the lowest transitions of staff within the team. Mm-hmm. So what that actually says is people are really, really enjoying what we're doing. So we look at getting the right people in the right roles. And then from an operational perspective, we've been really critical around the way that we go to market, our strategic setup, the way that we partner with our agencies, the way that we partner with the likes of Snap and partners. We've got a JBP on a global scale with Snap. And I think success on Snap for us in the last 3 years has been how we've actually brought that into the way that we've operated with our agencies. And then the last one's the work. So obviously we're really, really passionate about quality marketing, marketing that works, marketing that it's got impact. And effectiveness is probably a term we've all started to really use a lot in the last 5 years. So making sure that, yes, we're creative, but it's actually driving business. So we call it POW, as I said, people, operations, work. But that really gives us a great structure to be able to look at driving impact. As you say, it's been really successful, particularly here in ANZ. We've got both Uber and Uber Eats as really dominant and strong businesses in their market share.
Awesome. Thanks. Now, Hannah, to you. Mecca obviously is a wonderful Australian success story, and we know you're very passionate about it and very experienced with those challenges. What is it that is your secret sauce? What's the Mecca story, and how have you been so successful?
So we really do focus on the customer, and that was the same 25 years ago when Joe Horgan, our founder, opened the very first store in Melbourne. It was all about customer experience. You know, we want people to look and feel their best. That's one of our kind of big things. And actually, that is something that we do, every team thinks about in every single thing that we do. So when we talk about, we're doing a lot of 5-year planning at the moment, and there's lots of teams and lots of ideas. And the big question in every meeting is, but what value does it bring to our customer? What, you know, are they going to have a great experience? Is it going to improve the way that they interact with the brand? Right down to every single Monday, we have a Monday morning meeting. Two pieces of customer feedback are always read. Mm-hmm. The whole business, a good one and a challenging one. Just to really recenter everyone to be like, okay, actually, we're doing this for our customers. We have NPS scores that are shared with the business every single week, and that's NPS scores on customer experience, online, in-store, services, and then every month we celebrate the store with the best NPS, you know, which I think at the last one, the top scoring store was 95 out of 100. Wow. So yeah, it's really, that's the focus, the customer.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of customer feedback, Dave, how do you guys look at customer feedback?
We've got multiple different routes. I think it's, I'll try and focus on both Uber and Uber Eats separately, obviously from a mobility or Uber perspective. Our app is extremely data-driven. There's lots of opportunities for customers to feedback on that app. We obviously have driver forums. We've got a really strong connection with our drivers. They're sort of 24/7. But for us, there's every week there's different sections across our business that then is listening to consumer feedback. And then from a marketing perspective, we do a lot of qual and quant analysis on work before it goes into market, work that goes into market, and then working with our partners like Snap. Again, it's understanding what's performed from the marketing activity that we put in market. So I'd probably say we are extremely data driven.
Yeah.
And then from an Uber Eats perspective, order, so we call them trips and orders on the platform. So every time you're ordering something, we're getting that data back to see what's working, what's not. We've also now got an ads program on the platform, so we can see what's working, click-throughs on the app. Again, there's a lot of data behind them, both sides of the business.
Yeah, you must have huge, huge amounts of data coming through.
Yeah, it's particularly interesting to know what all you guys are ordering and where you're going and going up. We don't know on an individual basis, just want to put that out there. But we can see the trends, and I think that from a marketing perspective to have that, so we know when, you know, Friday, Saturday night, people are getting in that mode to be able to place their Uber Eats order. How do we make sure we're then in market at that moment to beat our competition and try and convince you to order through Uber Eats?
Got it. You know, it's good to have such contrasting brands here. You know, you've got the big global brand going local and being relevant, and then you've got this local loved icon going global.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. We're, the cat's out of the bag. But that's so exciting. But you both had very different experience in terms of how you use the Snapchat platform. Mm-hmm. And obviously you're after different results in terms of the ways by which you're doing that. So starting with you, Hannah, can you talk a bit about kind of how you've used it, how you've leveraged it, and the sort of results that you're seeing?
Yeah. So we've done a number of campaigns with Snapchat, but one of the big things and why we like working with actually you guys so much is you really get on board with the test and learn approach that Mecca has. So yes, we have traditional setup in terms of advertising, but the way we've worked with Vue as well is to do a lot of first in market opportunities that again, we think will add value to our customers. So one of the big projects we did last year, and we've repeated it this year, was a shoppable AR lens where you could try on a product, and within Snap, the product was actually directly below the lens. So you could try on the lipstick, you could then shop it. It was an incredible experience. It's not something that we're offering on site yet. It's not something that we're offering in store, but we knew it was something that for our customers or, you know, people who haven't shopped with us yet, who can't necessarily get to a Mecca store and they're spending time on Snap already, well, why not provide that experience where they can try things on and then, if they want to, they can shop directly. Phenomenal results, mm-hmm. both in terms of engagement, click-through, sales, which, okay. you know, it wasn't the key objective, but it was great to see. And, you know, you Snap and your team were like there with us every step of the way. So you helped us build it, you offered improvements, you know, it was a real collaboration. And I think that's what we're looking for when we work with partners. Like, we want to hear from you guys of how we could do better, but also how can we build these ideas to be like, have you thought about doing this? This could be good for our customers. So yeah, it's been great. And you know, we're now doing full funnel. We've just done a skin quiz to like find, you know, what type of skin you have, what products would work best. Yeah, it's great.
Nice. Hannah's is full of these beauty tips, by the way. I got a tip upstairs to put some hairspray on your shirt before you put makeup on so that the makeup doesn't
yes.
get on your shirt.
Ladies, this is the best.
There you go.
Hairspray, let it dry, pull your t-shirt on, won't get on your t-shirt. It's a big, yeah. big tip.
Well, there's more coming too. So, David, what about you? Obviously, you've got different objectives than yep. Mecca, right, in terms of how's it worked out for you?
Yeah, I think, firstly, on Uber Eats, obviously, we're an entertainment brand. I think, hopefully, everyone in the room here has seen some of our advertising over the last few years. I think, for us, it's a real great platform to bring in creation and get people to play with the platform and engage. We've done quite a lot of work in the last year, particularly around when we had Paris Hilton last year. Obviously a real queen of social media, so how we brought that in mm-hmm. was one way. But I think also trying to think about what will appeal to everyone in the room, we also use Snap in other areas. So it's really easy for us from an entertainment perspective on Uber Eats. But last year when we had a real shortage of drivers and delivery partners, we turned to Snap and worked with them to get into a really targeted audience approach. And actually start to be a bit more, we wanted to drive more demand. So in a similar way you were driving sales, we wanted to get more signups. And we partnered with Snap on that, and that was really successful. So great success from more of a performance side and then more of a brand engagement perspective. So the platform can be used for different areas, which is why we keep coming back, Tony.
Yeah. Please do.
I think you're trying to get me to commit to 3 times more spending than the...
I heard you commit to that.
Yeah. I said Andy committed to it.
I heard it. So, you know, it's funny how you're already doing things really differently. And it's kind of, if you were to speak 18 months ago, the stuff that you're doing right now just probably wasn't even in your long-term plans. When you're thinking about looking forward now and striking that balance around doing what you've done and proving, and then how you figure out how to innovate and build for what comes next. How are you doing that in your teams and even bringing that into a systematic approach that you're talking about? So,
yeah, start with? For us, I mean, we've worked really hard in the last 3 years to get our strategy on point as the fundamental building blocks. We're just now starting our strategic plans for next year. And what that enables you to then do is plan really, really well. And I sort of touched on it. We've got a JBP with Snapchat and other partners. And as part of that process, we start to bring Snap and those partners on earlier. We then work really closely with our agencies, because if I go back 3 years, it was sort of Snap would be coming through our agency. And I think what we've really worked hard with the team pre your time as well, Tony,
yep.
Is to actually bring them in and have direct relationships. So my sort of big push for everyone in this room is pick up the phone, have those direct relationships with Snap, bring them in as well as your agencies. It's always, you want to make sure there's no tension between the agencies and have really clear remits around that. And then ultimately speak to the different people you've got then from your agencies, your media agencies, creative agencies, partners and give them the problems. Like for us, we've got different problems across different areas of the business, and we're just really transparent on that. And then obviously you can then work on how it all comes together. And it's the client's job to make sure that everyone is A, super clear, focused on their area, and then can come back and give us more opportunities. So looking at second half, we've got lots on the table with you guys as well, and that will go into next year.
Awesome. And Hannah, what about you?
Pretty similar. We have, you know, long-term strategy, 5 years, 25 years built into
wow.
business. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Strong.
Yeah. So big ambitions, yeah. But yeah. So
that's definitely not like Uber. We struggle to get to, yeah.
And having that allows us to then, you know, okay, so if we've got 5 years, what does like next year look like? Yeah. Big focus at the moment. And with that, it also allows us to kind of add that layer of test and learn. We have like meeting room called Fail Fast, Fail Forward. The culture in Mecca is try things. It's okay if they don't work, but move forward. Like, get up, move on. And so that actually gives us and all the teams, empowers them to be able to go, hey, there's this test I think we should do, or there's this innovative ad with a partner that we want to try. That's not to say that our BAU and strategic things are compromised. Mm-hmm. They're still running, but you have this added layer of there's something new, let's try it. And that's in all areas of the business, whether that's a Mecca Aesthetica pop-up, which if you're in Melbourne, you might know, but we're testing really high-grade brands, but also like facials, closed doors. It's a little pop-up. We had an opportunity, a space in one of our retail partners, and we were like, you know what, let's try it. Mm. So it really does go across the business. So.
Awesome.
Just want to jump in on one of those. It's one of the things that we've been really pushing ourselves in the last 6 months. Is it fail fast, fail forward?
Yeah.
Yeah, just having a bit more of, we call it a black box thinking mentality to reviewing every campaign. So like, what is working? Brilliant. We'll make sure we measure that. But then going really deep on the things that don't work. And I think that's the bit that's really uncomfortable, particularly when you've worked so hard to get a big campaign out the door. But to have that skill set to then go, actually, I'm going to critique it to make it better. I think it's a real sort of new muscle we're really trying. It's awkward sometimes when you're reviewing work and people have worked so hard to get things out the door, but then you sort of collectively come back and say, could we have done that better? Mm-hmm. Or could we push ourselves more? Mm. And we're just starting that now. So hopefully over the next sort of 3-6 months,
yeah.
It will come into effect. So I love that.
It takes a while because you have to create that safe space for
yeah,
people to go, yeah, this didn't work, or I thought we should do this and we weren't right. And actually being like, great, good test though, now we know.
Yeah.
Now we know we won't do that.
Have you had that? Sorry, Tony, I'm doing a bit of it.
No.
Going off.
have you had that for quite a while? Like how long does it take? Because Uber wants things tomorrow. So we're like, you want to work tomorrow?
I mean, it really is. I mean, I've actually only been with Mecca for 2 years, but one of the things that brought me over was like, the culture's incredible. Like, yeah. It's a really great place to work. And although that is definitely something that was in the business, it's something that we have to just keep reiterating. We have to make sure that it's like, oh yeah, well, we had it 2 years ago. You know, we're bringing in so many new people. Our head office doubled in size over COVID.
Yeah.
Like we went from 350 to we're over 700 people now. And so you have to bring all these new people on board. You have to get them into the culture.
Yeah.
So it's a constant thing.
I think my wife's cupboard doubled in cosmetics over COVID as well. So
I've heard that a lot.
Great
yeah.
to know.
You know, it just occurred to me, I haven't asked, can you get Mecca in an Uber?
We should talk.
No, yeah, we should. What a brilliant yeah. combo, thanks.
My big thing is, yeah, because coming from, I worked for a business in London and we offered 90-minute delivery.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the future. So.
Well, I mean, our big platform now is get almost anything.
Yeah.
So Mecca, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. I have actually, I'm just...
New business.
Seen it. Yeah.
We certainly didn't rehearse this, I can tell you. Anyway, so... I think it's great. Thanks for all your feedback around how you deal with Snap and so on. I think, you know, for the audience and also for me, I'm really interested to hear, like, in terms of these two iconic brands, for you guys working in the businesses, you're clearly passionate, engaged, excited about it. When you think about 2024, what are you most excited about for each of your brands? Like, what is on the horizon that you're really pumped about? We'll start with you, Hannah. What are you most pumped about in terms of what's coming?
Probably two things. A big thing for the business is we're opening our second flagship. So this is in Melbourne. If you've been to the George Street flagship in Sydney, it's going to be four times the size. It's huge. Yeah. It's going to be great. we're equally as excited in the business, but that's a huge thing. And one of the big challenges for us is, okay, we're going to have this incredible physical experience, but how can we make sure that people don't lose out if they can't come? You know, what things can we be doing digitally? What experiences can we be building with both online, on our site, on our app, with our partners, so that people still feel part of the experience, both like through the launch, the opening, but also continued on? And then, of course, how do we make it like the place you have to visit if you come to Australia? It's a big one.
Exciting.
Mecca on the platform. So delivered to your door. Brilliant. Number one. I think it'd be remiss of me to not talk about the macroeconomic sort of climate that's going on here. I think we're already starting to see, as I mentioned, we're a very data business. We know collectively when Australians are moving around and what they're and when they're ordering. And I think that started we're starting to see things change slightly in that. So I think for us next year, we'll have a big focus around what is our membership program. So Uber One is where you can obviously get reductions across your mobility side, so Uber Rides, and then from an Uber Eats perspective. And I think that's very much the thinking that we've got going into our strategic platform. We want to still make sure that Uber Eats is entertaining. I think that's something I'm really passionate around. It's a phenomenal brand, really proud to work on it, but there's high expectations of what we've done, and I think no one feels that more than myself and the team to push ourselves. And then from a mobility service, safety, getting people around, making sure that we can, you know, make millions and millions of people be mobile across Australia, but really safe, it is a huge part of what we do on that side. So those three things, and Mecca, and working with Snapchat, all those things are my five.
Can you book an Uber through Snap?
I mean, this is just the best. There's any more ideas, chuck them in. No. I don't know, maybe, someday, currently okay. None.
Thank you. One last question before we go. It's kind of along the theme, and more of a fun theme around, you know, friends and network and contacts and connections, you know, on the theme of, you know, genuine contacts and connections that we were talking about earlier. I'd love to hear from each of you around, you know, a relationship that you've built in your career that has kind of evolved, sustained, created opportunities of any area of interest in your each of your journeys. And either of you can start.
I mean, mine was probably, so my current boss actually, Kate Blythe, who's our CMO, is the whole reason I'm in Australia. She convinced me, you know, we worked together, we crossed paths at Net-a-Porter, then we worked together at Matches Fashion, then I moved into a different team, which she put me forward for, which was great. You know, she was encouraging me to kind of, you know, build my experience, build my roles. And then she moved to Mecca and got in contact about 9 months later and was like, what do you think of Australia? I was like, it's nice. And yeah, she was, you know, she said, listen, it wasn't right when I came over. There's a restructured a little bit. There's an opportunity. I think you'd be great. And, you know, having that relationship long term with her has just been brilliant. You know, it's the whole reason I'm here. Yeah, so new country. My mum was very upset, but she likes her now. Yeah, so.
And you're sticking around, we hope.
Oh God, that's yes, I am. I'm about to extend my visa, so if anyone knows anyone, please get this through. So that would be helpful.
Awesome.
For me, a few years back, I was lucky to go on a leadership group called the Marketing Academy. I don't know if anyone here knows about that. And I've forged quite a few relationships in that. And then from a professional side, I was GM of an agency at the time, and then I lost my job. That's about five or six years ago. And a few of the team that I'd actually met through Marketing Academy were going through similar things at that point. And I think anybody who's lost their job or been made redundant, it's quite it knocks your ego a bit, and it takes a bit out of you, and you lose a bit of confidence. But I think through those relationships and being able to chat and open myself up there, I then started doing a bit of freelance. I always wanted to go client side from agency, and they were the ones that were pushing me to do that and supported me getting my first sort of client gig at Samsung. And then I sort of progressed through that and then came to Uber, which is, I always had Uber on my radar as a company I wanted to work for because they're marketing. And I think without that, those friendship groups, would I be in this position now? Probably not. I think they definitely pushed me to do the things in that. So I think that's a huge help. And I think just anybody that is in the audience that is going through that, know that, you know, there's people there to speak to and chat to them and build your confidence to do things. And who knows where you can end up, maybe at Uber.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for being so open. I think that's really relevant for the market that we're in right now, so I appreciate that.
It's all right. Look,
on behalf of everyone here, I just wanted to say a big thank you to the two of you for joining us. So please welcome Hannah and David from Uber and Mecca.
And you all, if Mecca gets on the platform, you can all be there. I was in the room when
Came on. You guys were here. You heard it first. Yeah.
Thanks very much, and you know, enjoy the rest of Advertising Week. Thanks very much, everybody.
Thanks for listening. For more programs like this one, be sure to visit www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts and check out our ever-expanding roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries.